From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are very happy to have you with us today. It is an insanely busy day up on Capitol Hill. And we're going to get into the latest on this Signal group chat story. Again, I still believe this is a great big nothing burger. The only issue I have is why the National Security Advisor, Michael Waltz, added Jeffrey Goldberg to the chat. And we now know that to be the case. So there's a lot of fallout involving that. But again, the Democrats are using this to beat up the Republicans, and there's really nothing there. So we'll follow that story today. I don't want to get ahead of the skis here. I'm not sure Mike Waltz is going to be able to survive this. I think somebody's head is going to be on a platter here. Laura Loomer's got some interesting reporting, and we're going to get to that as well in just a little while. Also, big hearings underway, and folks, this is a big deal to me. But Congress right now holding hearings on whether or not we should defund PBS and NPR. I call them public welfare broadcasting because that's what they are. If they cannot make it on their own, then they need to shut down. I mean, it really is that simple. Why should I pay for a competing radio station to exist in my city? That makes absolutely no sense to me. But beyond that, NPR and PBS are nothing more than propaganda machines, not only for the far left, not only for the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, but also driving this radical, radical cultural change in this nation. Here's MTG slamming PBS for airing children's content that actually included a drag queen.
I want you to know, I grew up watching children's programming on PBS. And as a mother who raised three children, I felt confident that I could leave the room while my own children were watching children's programming on PBS. But I can tell you right now, Ms. Kerger, specifically, as a mother, if I had walked in my living room or one of my children's bedrooms and seen this child predator and this monster targeting my children, I would become unglued. And that is how most parents feel all over this country.
Yeah, I'm not sure if moms and dads understand. You can't just let your kids sit there and watch shows like Sesame Street anymore. And for that matter, look, let Big Bird pay his own bills. Why do I have to pay Big Bird's electric bill? Somebody want to explain that to me? Could somebody explain that to me? And then you've got the people over at NPR, and they're suggesting that they just do fair and balanced. They do fair and balanced news coverage. Let's listen in. I personally, Todd Starnes, have received exclusive audio from the NPR people. This is NPR News Director Dink Poopyface. Let's listen in.
We believe that NPR has a very important place in American history. When a tornado touches down in your town, you want to hear a calming voice on the radio, which is why you need NPR.
No, Dink Poopyface, we don't need you, sir. We have local talk radio. We have the TV people. We don't need NPR.
Oh, but you do. Where else would you get a tote bag or an umbrella?
Well, here's a thought. Here's a thought, NPR. If you really, really are that hard up for money, here's a thought. Just stop giving away tote bags and umbrellas. Is it really that difficult? But again, if you can't afford to pay your bills, what do? You do what every other business in America does. And what do the businesses of America do when they are not bringing in enough revenue? They make cuts. And that's what you have to do, NPR. You don't go getting a handout from the taxpayers of America. By the way, if you think it's the numbers we're getting are nowhere near the amount of money that your tax money is being used to prop these people up. And here's the reason why. And this is something you need to explore in your own towns and communities. It turns out that a lot of these lawmakers have these slush funds. A lot of these organizations, a lot of the government entities, and I'm just going to use the U.S. Postal Service as an example. U.S. Postal Service has been donating money to NPR and PBS. So you have a government agency giving money to another organization that's already getting government money. So your tax, they're literally double dipping from your tax dollars. And that is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm curious to hear your thoughts here because Congress, the Republicans have been talking about this forever. Forever. Well, we're going to, if you elect me to Congress, we're going to defund PBS. We're gonna defeather Big Bird. We're going to make Bert and Ernie sleep in separate bedrooms. Not that there's anything wrong with that. They've been promising us that for decades. And yet, for some strange reason, election cycle after election cycle, we still, ladies and gentlemen, we still have not managed to defund either of those organizations. So my question is very simple to you. Should we, the American people, be forced to fund NPR and PBS? Do you want to see Congress defund these two organizations? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls on this. I'm telling you, for me, as a private business owner, it so angers me what is happening right now and how our tax dollars are being used. Cut 17.
I don't think I have any Jesse Helms defenders here, Nina.
Not me. I think he ought to be worried about the about what's going on in the good Lord's mind, because if there's retributive justice, he'll get AIDS from a transfusion, or one of his grandchildren will get it.
The man is on the court. You know, I hope his wife feeds him lots of eggs and butter, and he dies early like many black men do of heart disease.
The idea got into their minds that to kill other people is a great thing to do and that they would be rewarded in the hereafter.
But Christians do that every single day in this country.
Do they blow people up?
Christians every day. People walk in the post office.
Fidel is now 61 years old, but his charisma remains as strong as ever. Fidel touched this young machine adjuster, and the man enjoyed a mild ecstasy. I know the feeling. He has inspired the majority with his charisma.
In 2010, there was a Tea Party rally at the Capitol. Did you have a sense from listening to that rally and the people there that they were as much interested in being anti-black as they were anti-Obamacare?
America is exceptionally religious, has always been exceptionally religious, compared to the rest of...
Founded by people who were seeking religious freedom.
Well, that's a charitable way of putting it. Founded also by a theocratic cult of religious nuts.
Right. All right, there you go. Just a sampling of some of the anti-Christian rhetoric spewing... And by the way, anti-conservative rhetoric spewing out of NPR and PBS. Hear me on this. NPR's chief executive officer called Donald Trump a deranged, racist, and a sociopath. Said America is addicted to white supremacy. Argues that saying there are only two genders erases transgender people. This is what your tax dollars are being used to fund. And my question is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe that your tax money should be used to advance that sort of propaganda? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard My Pillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
About this story, October 2020, New York Post had the Hunter Biden laptop story, and one of those editors, I guess one of those 87 Democrat editors, said this: we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. We don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' times on stories that are just pure distractions. Was that a pure distraction story?
Our current editorial leadership believes that that was a mistake, as do I.
Yeah, the whole country knows that was a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Jordan grilling NPR leadership. Look, we got to defund them. I mean, it really is that simple. They're nothing more than propagandists for the far left. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Tom?
You know, I'm good. You know, these hearings, I'm glad that you guys are having these, Congressman. I have to imagine there's a better place for all of that funding than NPR and PBS.
Of course. I mean, they've lost listeners while taking more taxpayer money, and they're so biased. A guy who worked for him for 20 years, a guy named Yuri Berliner, he worked for him for 25 years, was an award-winning journalist, won the Peabody Award. He writes a story a year ago saying, this is how bad it's gotten. Editorial people in the D.C. area who work at NPR, there were 87 of them, and 87 of them, all of them, not 50 to 37, all 87 were Democrats, zero Republicans. And yet Ms. Maher today, the CEO of NPR, when I ask her, is NPR biased? She says, no, we're not biased. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
Congressman, as a small business owner, I own a commercial news talk radio station in Memphis, and it enrages me that my tax dollars and the profits for my company are going to fund the competition across town. Is just overwhelming to me. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's more than you think, because they get some direct funding. Congress, way back when, created the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So that corporation that funds, it's funded by taxpayers, it gives money to NPR. Then it also gives a bunch of money to these local stations that you're competing with. And then those local stations purchase content and programming from NPR. So when Ms. Maher said, well, we only get like $11 million, I think it was the number she used, from the Corporation Public Broadcast, that's misleading, because she gets the money that's routed to the local station that then comes back to her when they purchase content and programming from National Public Radio. So it's a lot more. And all the while they're doing that, getting your money, it's been increasing, they're losing listeners, but yet continuing to propagandize the American people.
Do you think we are going to be able to defund the Corporation?
No, I want to, yes. You do. And in fact, after the hearing, I got a text from the chairman, and I texted Marjorie back, and I said, we need a rescission bill to get rid of NPR ASAP, and just do it. Just put the vote up and do it.
I love it. I know you're going to get the votes. Congressman, I've got to jump to the big story, though. That, I mean, there are so many things happening today, and there is great concern about these federal judges who think that they have the ultimate authority in America, and I know that you guys are going to be holding hearings on this.
Yeah. No, you're right. The fundamental problem is that these unelected judges think they're more important than the guy who put his name on a ballot, took a bullet to the ear, lived through all he lived through, got elected, and is doing what he told the American people he was going to do, what we elected him to do. They think they're more important than him, and it's been injunction after injunction. It's been order after order. So we passed legislation a couple weeks ago out of the committee which said this. You got some federal district judge in Timbuktu, California, who says issues an injunction. It shouldn't apply nationwide. It should apply just to the parties in the case in that respective jurisdiction. So we're going to work on legislation, and then we're going to do oversight. And we have a hearing scheduled next Tuesday. We're going to begin to examine what's going on and the detrimental effects this has on our separate and equal branches of government. And we'll talk a lot about this Judge Boasberg with his ridiculous. I mean, there's no other way to say it, Todd. This judge said, turn the plane around, bring back the hardened criminal gang members who were in the country illegally, turn the plane around, bring the bad guys back. Like, what? What are you talking about? So, and this judge starts to look like everything he's doing is based on politics against President Trump.
So Congressman, I had a phone call last week with Speaker Johnson, and he said the challenge here is, you know, if we're going to try to impeach these judges, we don't have the numbers in the Senate. So the question is, what are we doing? If we don't have the numbers to impeach, otherwise we're really just spinning our wheels in the House. But what can we do?
Yeah, no, you still point out the facts. I've always been a strong believer. I've been involved in so many investigations around this town in the last several years. You get the facts to the people. The facts in and of themselves, I think, are important. And the facts determine what you need to do legislatively. We try to pass that bill. The speaker's indicated he's going to put that bill that I talked about where the injunction only applies to the parties in the case in that jurisdiction, not nationwide. He's going to put that bill on the floor next Wednesday. We will vote that out of the House. You go to the Senate. All that creates pressure to do things the right way, to follow the Constitution. So we're going to do all that. And then finally, the real power that we have in Congress, and you know this better than anyone, is power of the purse.
Right.
And we should look at, when it comes to funding the judicial branch, we want to make sure Americans have access to justice. We want to make sure our judges are secure, because we all remember what happened, the assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh after the Dobbs leak, that opinion leak a couple years ago. So we want to make sure we do that. But there are other areas that we can look at and maybe say, oh, you're going to behave this way, which we think looks political. There's things we can do on the funding side as well.
Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, joining us right now. This is the headline from NBC News. I just want you to respond to this. Speaker Mike Johnson floats eliminating federal courts as GOP ramps up attacks on judges. Your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, we create these courts. There's a bill to add additional judges that are needed at certain levels. And that's a power that under our Constitution resides with the Congress. These courts and district courts that happen. So we just saw what happened today. Judge Boasberg, the same judge who said turn the plane around, bring the bad guys back, he just got assigned the case on this whole phone call that took place on Signal. He just got assigned a case. First of all, this case was boom filed like right away. He randomly gets assigned that case. That's how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be random selection. So the same judge gets that, who, by the way, Todd, is the same judge who was on the FISA court when they allowed the warrants against President Trump's campaign so they could spy on President Trump's campaign. It all starts to look like this guy's pretty political.
So that is a possibility. You guys do have the power to eliminate some of the federal courts.
Yeah, you need legislation to create courts, and that's just that's how the process works under our constitutional system. So it can in fact happen as the speaker indicated.
And it's safe to say nothing is off the table.
Oh, everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table.
You look, the disproportionate number of times there's been, I forget, like 60, I mean, it's unbelievable the numbers against President Trump versus other presidents here in the modern era. It's so lopsided against President Trump, which I think underscores the concern that we have and why we're proceeding as we are.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. You know how radio is. We've got to take a break. We actually have to pay our bills. So we got to take a break. Congressman, really appreciate all the breaking news nuggets, and get back at it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care. Keep up the great work.
All right. Likewise. Congressman Jim Jordan, by the way, he looked like he was having a blast. He and Elon Musk in the front row of the NCAA wrestling championships. You know, he was a wrestling coach at Ohio State University before hopping into Congress. All right. A lot of breaking news in that interview, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be getting to your calls as well. What do you think about the congressman? He said, yeah, we may look at eliminating some of these federal courts. Also, defunding NPR, PBS. We're going right to your phone calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, man, Congressman Jim Jordan, he dropped multiple bombshells in that interview. And to all of our new listeners in Houston on Patriot Talk 920 and our friends at Talk 1400 in Winchester, we love bringing the newsmakers to you. And it's fun to be able to pull these guys in and into the conversation and ask the questions that I think we all want to know the answers to. Coming up a little bit later on, Congressman Troy Nels is going to be here representing the 22nd Congressional District in Texas. And for our friends at the Real Talk Radio Network, Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, is going to be here as well. But as promised, we're going right to your phone calls, and we're going to start our day with our great affiliate in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WSJS. Let's say hello to MC. Hi, MC. What's going on?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Well, there's a lot going on in this country, as the congressman pointed out. And I will say this, I'm for defunding NPR and PBS. Now, we all love Ken Burns, and you can go back further than that. You can go back to Alistair Cook. But the time has passed for funding that, because you can still go to your public radio and learn about Beethoven. Or, you know, Beethoven, he had 9 symphonies, 1 ballet, and 1 opera. I learned that from NPR. Well, guess what? I could have learned it from some other source. What I don't need to learn from NPR is how to raise my child to be sensitive to, you know, whatever, their politics. But, it's unfair for them to compete with you. I will point out that I just heard a public service announcement on your air from the Forest Service, so you get a little bit of government money too, I think.
No, sir, we do not. We air those free of charge. Those are a public service, and so we don't get a single penny from the government. Not a one.
Well, NPR gets a lot of money. I will say this. I'll make it quick and short and a little humorous.
Yeah.
If you want to get commie news, just get it from Jane Pauley on CBS. You don't have to get it from your government. Okay?
Well, there you go. And that's it in a nutshell, MC. And I don't mind helping out. Look, we get a license from the federal government, the FCC. We have rules and regulations we follow. But we don't get a single penny in funding from the federal government at all. And it bothers me that the people in this town, because I can tell you, and we got Ben Dieter here, one of the things that's very dangerous in the Memphis area is there is a consortium now. So you've got the major newspaper in town, which has it's got its claws into the local public broadcasting area, both on television and radio. And this is being funded by the federal government. It is a dangerous thing they're doing.
Yeah, because they take every talking point from the federal government all the way down to your state legislature in your state and your city halls. And whatever the state or the local government wants to be spewed across these airwaves, they do zero fact-checking. They just spew them. They just literally grab their microphones and they go, your wish is our command. And that's what they do.
You just heard Jim Jordan say that and call out NPR for not even covering the Hunter Biden laptop story. You know, that's the level of quite frankly, journalism malpractice that's happening here. But look, I'll give you an example. Not only are we funding here in Memphis, and folks, you got to check your local school system as well, because your local schools in some of the larger cities, I guarantee you they're doing this. You're paying for NPR, the local NPR. Was it WKNO? Yep. You're paying for the radio. You're paying for their TV broadcast. The school district has its own radio and TV network that employs 19 people. This is all being funded. And again, they're spewing the propaganda coming out of the school district.
And no one's saying that people on the left can't have their shows, their TV shows. We just don't want to pay for it. Like, go right ahead. If you want to spew propaganda, that's our country. You can do that.
But not a single penny of our tax money should be used.
And it's crazy. How long have they been in existence that this has just been mainstream? That we don't even have an option.
So,
and the question is, to your point, and you were asking Congressman Jordan this, will there actually be more than just these hearings? Because that's where we want to take this now. Like, it's one thing to say defund NPR. It's great when you want to campaign. But are we going to see those coffers shrink up, dry up?
Almost $600 million of your tax money that goes to the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. And that's not even the half of it, folks. So that's just the amount that we know. We can say this is the amount that's budgeted. It's what, $500 and some odd million, almost $600 million. And it's just unacceptable. It is unacceptable. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. We'll say hello to Steve in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Steve. What's up?
What's going on, Todd? How you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. What's up, Steve?
It's deeper than you're getting into right now. What you're talking about basically is radio. My firsthand experience was National Endowment of the Arts. Wow. My son brings a poem home named America, and I read it, and I went straight to the principal's office. I laid it on her desk, and I said, explain this to me. And she looked at me and said, I have nothing to do with curriculum. I said, you better. This is a poem titled America about a kid dreaming about killing his daddy because his daddy was a capitalist. I said, my youngest ain't never thought about killing me. I'm telling you, I'll take this to football practice tonight. And I said, we'll have your job. And come to find out, National Endowment of the Arts takes millions and millions of dollars of taxpayers' dollars. They donated millions of dollars to Barack Obama's campaign.
Steve, we're looking at $210 million of your tax money going to fund the National Endowment for the Arts. That doesn't include the Kennedy Center. That doesn't include, and by the way, no, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is radio and TV. And I say we defund them all.
Well, to find out, the gig is they get taxpayer dollars. They turn around and donate to the Democrats to get elected.
Absolutely. Look, do not be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, if Elon and the Doge team are allowed to do their work And we're able to get rid of all of this wasteful spending and the money laundering, which is really what that is. When the United States Postal Service, which they can't even pay their bills, they're in debt up not even beyond, they're up to their necks, not their wazoo, their neck in debt. They can't pay their bills, but they're funneling money over to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's money laundering right there. But yeah, you're right, Steve. This is a great big mess, and we've got to get a handle on it. But by the time it's all said and done, we may be able to balance the budget. We may even be able to lower our taxes when it's all said and done.
Exactly what it is.
All right, Steve, thank you for that call. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Vicki on WHKP. Hi, Vicki. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Okay, I just wanted to say something about public television. I am a staunch Republican, big Trump fan, all that. But I've been watching public TV myself for more than 50 years. There is a lot of good programming on public TV. And I would hate to see some of that go away. But what I would suggest is to say to PBS, if you want to continue to get federal funding, which would be greatly reduced, by the way, you have to come up with some kind of oversight committee that will ensure that for every left-leaning political show, that there would be a right-leaning political show.
You think they would do that, Vicki? They'd have to get rid of literally half their programs to even do something like that.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if they want to continue to get federal funding, then they're going to have to have programming that covers everybody in the country, not just one side.
Let me ask you a question, Vicki. What's your favorite program over on PBS?
Masterpiece Theater.
All right, do you know, Vicki, that right now you can go and download an app and you can actually download Masterpiece Theater and you can watch it. You could pay for it, right? I was a big fan of the Downton Abbey back in the day. Well, I bought the series. So you can actually, there are other ways to get that programming than PBS. And I think that's the point here, is that there are plenty of other ways to get the programs and to get the educational content without having to spend over, you know, $500 some odd million of our tax money.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, we'll really see their true colors if they want to continue to get federal funding, that they'd have to have more balanced programming. If they say no to that, well, then fine. You don't get any money.
All right, Vicki, well, thank you for the call. Dieter, did you ever have to watch PBS as a kid? Because when we were kids, it was like, oh, gosh, we got to watch PBS.
No, I didn't.
You see, we only had four channels when I was a kid growing up, only four TV channels.
Did they have Big Bird back in your day?
Yeah, Big Bird was just birthed. I think Big Bird was hatched. Was it 1968 or something? So I was born in 67. It was a little bird.
Baby Bird.
But even back then, Bert and Ernie were shacking up together. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Did they have the drag queen series back in your day?
No, they did not have the drag queen series.
Oh.
They had the Electric Company. They had the guy who looks, I just figured out who Ben Dieter looks like with his Manfro. Is it a white fro? Manfro?
It's an afro. Wait, it can't be an afro.
You are the spitting image of Bob the Painter, Bob Ross on PBS. You know, he used to do the watercolors.
I've seen his hair. Yeah.
Well, it's not. I just pulled him up. He's got more of a well-rounded fro.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you want to paint, I'm sure there's a channel for that. HGTV.
No, that's a terrible show. I have seen that.
What, the painting show?
Yes.
It's sort of soothed. Some people used to watch that just to, like, de-stress. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. There's all that to say, for those of you who may be afraid of losing your favorite British series, because that's all they're doing. By the way, have you noticed that? There's really no original content aside from Sesame Street. And, of course, Mr. Rogers is dead. But all the shows are coming from the UK. And I'm sure there's a channel for that.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me. Remember the story we reported on where Politico was getting money from USAID? And there were rumors whether they were accepting money or not. I think the story here is a lot of times for our local newspaper that is funded by taxpayers, you also have to pay for subscriptions. That's the other thing that's crazy is like half of these things they say are free. They aren't. Like they're getting so much money and it's just impossible. Like we deliver this show 3 hours of content every single day and we give it to them for free. These people are just greedy, greedy overlords that are asking for subscriptions and you got to renew it. And yeah, what a cash cow.
I don't know. NPR just bores me. This is NPR exciting. This is NPR. This is NPR angry. This is NPR. This is NPR just happy. This is NPR. They don't have like emotion. It's weird. My favorite NPR, if you ever have watched a Saturday Night Live, the famous Sweaty Balls episode, the parody on PBS in New Hampshire or Vermont, I think I actually met the people that was based on when I was doing politics at Fox.
Yeah.
They're really like that.
They all have a look. And you see they hand out those NPR stickers. They're all throughout the city of Memphis. And you can always see them walking, and you can smell them a mile away.
And there's a coexist bumper sticker on the car.
Always.
Always.
And what is with the tote bags?
I don't know. They could save money just by if they stopped giving everybody a tote bag and an umbrella. Oh, by the way, so I was covering a Hillary Clinton event, and I was seated right next to the NPR chicks, and they looked just like the Sweaty Balls girls. And they had their engineer there, and he was a nice guy. And I think his name was Bob, actually. Why do I remember that? I think his name was Bob.
So were they nice?
No, they were very, they were very NPR, all right? They were like hemp sweaters, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. They were wearing the man shoes. What do you call those? The Birkenstocks.
Mandals.
They were oozing the stereotypical NPR vibe. So anyway, we were starving and Hillary was so cheap. And, you know, the other candidates would always have food for the press corps, but they were cheap. They didn't have any food. So we were at a college, Southern New Hampshire University of Southern New Hampshire. So I go find the canteen and it's closed. They have a little shop there. So I bought a sleeve of Oreo cookies and I bring them back and I'm just being a nice guy. And I know you folks in Houston are just now, you're new to the program, and you may not know this because you hear me sometimes get a little riled up, but I'm a nice guy. So I open up the sleeve of the delicious, and they were double stuff Oreos.
The best.
Man, are they good. And so I offered the Sweaty Balls girls some Oreos. And you know what they said?
Are they vegan?
We don't eat hydroxylated cookies. We don't eat hydroxylated cookies. And then Bob, the engineer, said, well, I do. I'll take some of those cookies. They're double stuff. I'm like, here you go, Bob. Starve, you winches.
And they starved. They're probably still there. Bag of bones, those ladies.
Smoking their sweaters. Good golly. All right, got to take a break here. Hang tight. We're getting to your calls. We got Dan in New Hampshire. He may know the Sweaty Balls girls. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. Jamal in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WSJS, our great station there. Hi, Jamal. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Hope you all are doing well, and thanks for taking my call. Wanted to ask about the spending with the Department of Defense, I think, and the Pentagon and all that. And I could be wrong. From what I heard, I think they have a $800 billion budget.
$850 billion.
Ah, okay. Thank you for that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on maybe cutting from some of that, if that was a possibility or a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there has to be. By the way, that's a decrease of $15 billion from last year. So, you know, again, there are some things we have to have, Jamal, but I think everything has to be on the table. And I think you and I both know it doesn't cost $30,000 to go out and buy a toilet seat.
that a lot of those, I think if you look at what's happening in the military right now, you're going to find the same story across every other part of the government where there's a lot of wasteful spending and money laundering going on.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you for that. And just want to shout out to my Bob study partner, Randy, and all the guys at Fireside. Great job, Todd Starnes. God bless.
All right, Jamal, God bless you, and God bless your Bible study group there. Love to hear that. That's pretty cool. Let's hang tight. We're going to try to pick up Dan on the other side of the break because we are coming up on a mandatory, the computer's going to cut us off, break. Do want to remind you folks of something. We are in the final days. We've only got a couple of days left of raising money for Hungry Kids. And this is an incredibly important ministry. They don't get a single penny of government money. They only exist because of our charity. And so I do this every year, once a year, raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go right now to ToddStearns.com and make a donation. It could be $5, $10, $20. $100 feeds a child, one child, for an entire year. Now, your money, any donation you give, it's tax deductible. Go to ToddStearns.com, click on the big blue banner at the top of the page. Later on in the show, we're going to be reading out some of the folks who've been so generous and giving to help us. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. No, we're still funding NPR and PBS, but you heard Congressman Jim Jordan exclusively on the Todd Starnes radio show. Say those days are going to be very short-lived. Write down our telephone number. You will need it if you plan on calling into the program today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Real quick, I want to go to the phone lines. Dan in New Hampshire wants to weigh in on President Trump. And yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order that is going to all but guarantee, and again, if this is codified, it will all but guarantee that our elections are going to be safe. Dan, good to have you with us. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think it's a good thing. It's a start. It's a start. And I hope they can legislate it. That solidifies it. Because an executive order can be overturned by the next president that comes in. So let's hope they pass legislation to fix this. And Trump has been talking in these governor meetings that he had a couple of weeks ago. He's telling them, you got to clean up your voter rolls. You got to clean up your election. I mean, if you look at back in December 23, okay, Roman Balka McCall from Epic Times, he reported on December 8, 2023, on how the Louisiana Supreme Court, Justice Joseph Blake, nullified, overturned an election on November 18th in Cato Parish between Democrat Henry Whitmore Horn and Republican John Nicholson. Okay, and the reason why is because he had witness testimony.
Dan, I don't want to do a deep dive into what happened in Cato Parish, but I want to bring it back to nationally, you know, what the president wants to do. And I think, Dan, if the president is able to get all of this codified, this is going to ensure that we have fair elections in America.
Yeah, voter ID. He wants to do hand counting ballots, paper ballots with the watermark. And no counting ballots beyond Election Day, and there shouldn't be early voting unless you have a notarized affidavit. Because if you don't have somebody accountable for the fraud and doesn't actually prove who they are, then you can't vote after mail-in voting. Our system's built for fraud, so they have to have a notarized affidavit that goes to the state. The state has to make sure because that's part of the stuff in Louisiana. That was one of the pieces that judge found was they weren't following election laws on the absentee voting. They were vital, and it's the same problem.
Let me say this, Dan, and we're gonna have to move on here. But the most important thing that President Trump wants to do is ensure that you show proof of U.S. citizenship when you go and vote. And here's the reality. I went to the doctor today. Dieter, you know what I had to do when I walked into that doctor's office? Do you know what I had to do?
Get on the scale, get measured, I don't know, have your heart checked.
Yeah, medicine. They did all of that.
Yeah.
By the way, may I just give a quick shout out to Calitrin? The doctor is like, man, congratulations, you've lost 7 pounds. And I'm thinking, Calitrin, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's working. It's going to take some time. But anyway, no, that they did all of that. But I had to show my driver's license. I had to show proof of ID just to go see the doctor. So if I got to show an ID to go in and visit my doctor's office, why should I not have to show my ID if I'm going to go and cast a vote for the president of the United States?
It's a fair question. I got a tattoo recently, and I had also show my ID. That seems unfair. I mean, right? Like, I had to have to get a tattoo, I had to show proof that I was sober and that I had an ID.
And that you were of a certain age.
And that I was over 18 years
18
old.
18 years old.
So, yeah.
So let me get this straight. You can't get a tattoo. So if you were 17 years old, you would not have been able to get a tattoo.
Can't get a tattoo.
But if you wanted to go and be medically mutilated at 17, you can do that.
And you can vote illegally.
Wow.
We've got babies voting in these elections.
Well, you know, you got 9-month-olds that are running apparently major corporations in America.
Getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from our government. It's crazy what these babies are capable of doing
Insane.
Now.
Insane. I want to go talk to Mike in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello, Todd. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to let you know, I did used to work at a PBS station. I was CEO, and I did lobby for more funding. Naturally, that was my job. And I've gotten out probably the last 2.5 years. I've been gone about 3 years. But each PBS station receives money from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting based on something called NFFS. That's non-federal financial support. It's a complicated formula where they allocate a certain amount of money from that corporation. The feds give the money to the corporation, the public broadcasting. They distribute the money to the stations based on NFFS, okay? So what's interesting is the big stations like Boston, New York, L.A., you know, they make all of the money. They get a lot of money. They're bigger stations. They get We'll have more liberal viewers that contribute. But also you get matched if your state, you get more NFFS money if your state gives you money. So if our Tennessee legislature gives PBS stations money, you'll receive more federal money. It's just the way it works. Or it's the way it used to work when I was there. So our state has probably doubled their funding from around $2.8 million when I was there to nearly $6 million probably now.
And I have to imagine, Mike, that probably doesn't even account. So it's $525 million for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. That would not include, like, for example, last year, NPR got a grant, a federal grant. So that would be money on top of that money.
Yes, sir. I would suspect so.
Wow.
But what's interesting, and I love my state legislature, that Tennessee is a 10. When it comes to governance, I love them all. We have a super majority. But, I'm guilty because I work there. I lobbied for the money. I would like to see our state, you know, put an end to that.
Yeah.
End to public funding of it.
We're going to look into that because I wasn't aware that the state was doing something like that. And look, if you're an employee of, you know, NPR or PBS, you're going to advocate for your employer. I don't fault you for that at all. You know, my concern is, and I know Jackson, Tennessee, you guys have a locally owned or TV station, or you have a local TV station there, WBBJ. So that puts, you know, that in a smaller market like that, I can see where that can be problematic. Look, it's a problem here. I just have a very genuine problem with the fact that there is a radio competitor and they're getting money out of my bank account. I just have a problem with that.
Well, I agree. And maybe back in the 60s or 70s, the issue wasn't as big today. But with our technology, it should go away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Mike, I appreciate the call, and thank you for that. And Mike, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
What's up with all the tote bags? Did you guys give out all the tote bags when you were there?
I forgot what they call it. Merch, I think.
Merch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, of course, great people there, and it's built on a model that I think was started by Lyndon Johnson. So it's just too antiquated. We're in too rough a times financially. It needs to go.
You know what it is, Mike? I think PBS NPR have better merch than I have because they're getting money from the government, and I got to buy my merch, and I'm cheap.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for the intel there. I felt obligated, Dieter. I needed to ask the guy about you. Where he got the merch?
Who inspired the merch?
Yeah, I've got to up my merch game.
Well, we have really cool postcard Gulf of America.
Oh,
things.
That's true.
That's our recent merch that we've added, and that's incredible merch.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. All right, can we talk about Jasmine Crocker for just a moment? She is going to be. I suspect she is going to be censured. My question, and this is really for the people of Texas because she belongs to you guys. You know, she's your Congress chick. Does she need to be expelled? And if I were the Democrats, because right now she is the leader of the Democrat caucus in the House of Representatives right now. I mean, there's a guy, Hakeem Jeffries. I don't think he's the guy. You know, I think he's scared of her. I really do. And I think just like, I'm not going to get local, but I will just say this. I think Hakeem Jeffries is scared of Jasmine Crockett. By the way, it turns out somebody did this, and I don't know who did this, but well done you. They found some audio evidence that Jasmine Crockett, she's faking it all. And we've been very clear about that, talking about her cosplaying a gangsta and that her accent is fake. It's phony. Well, I want you to listen to before and after Jasmine Crockett. Cut 12, please.
You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need. Because we in these hot-ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot-ass mess, honey. So yes.
So there you go, a little before and after.
Hello, my name is Jasmine Crockett, and I graduated from Rhodes College. And after I graduated, yo, baby, what's up? I ain't gonna do that. What you say about my eyebrows?
Come on. Be authentic.
You know, and I think the craziest thing, because that last bit of audio that you played in that montage was her recent comments about the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. And where was she speaking again? Aren't those the human rights people where love is love?
That's the gay rights terrorist group,
yes.
The human rights campaign.
But they're all about inclusivity and mm-hmm. love is love and your rights are my rights and everybody has rights because women's rights are human rights and women's rights are human rights. Yeah, you've heard the whole thing. They're mocking a person's disability. And yes, her comments were so offensive, obviously. We've discussed that. But the people that were there in the gala, this swanky gala where she made that, for them to applaud that is so fundamentally opposing what they claim to stand for. I'm just sickened by that.
They're hateful people. And by the way, Greg Abbott was on Hannity last night, and he was asked about this. Again, the governor, back when he was in law school, was out jogging, and an oak tree split, and he was hit, and it literally crushed his spine. And he's paralyzed from the waist down. Cut number 9.
is another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate. And Americans are not buying it. It's one reason why Texas is going to remain red and why Republicans are going to continue to win elections across the country. The fact, Sean, is that Texas is actually in direct contrast to what she was talking about. Texas has ranked number one for the most new jobs in America over the past month, number one for the most new jobs over the past year, and for several years. Texas ranks number one for the most new economic development projects for 13 years in a row. CEOs who run businesses have ranked Texas the best state for doing business for 20 years in a row. And Texas is in the vanguard as it concerns the future of the United States, such as space exploration, such as artificial intelligence, such as semiconductors, as well as power generation. The bottom line is that Republican states like Texas are leading the way, and with comments like this by Democrats, we will just leave them in the dust in future elections.
Yeah, nothing to sell but hate. That's right. And the governor's right there, and I appreciate the governor's response. But I'm telling you, she's got to go. She's got to go. We've got to send a message. And by the way, she's doubling down on what she said. If you can imagine MTG going after some sort of a handicapped person or somebody with a disability, I mean, look at what Donald Trump, and Donald Trump wasn't even mocking the disabled, was a New York Times reporter, and they fabricated all of that, and they tried to say that disqualified him from serving as president of the United States. So here you literally have...
It's you have to, Todd, in your stack of stories, look, where is your story? I have a statement by Jasmine Crockett and what she responded to, because her statement, because literally even Democrats are now calling for her to issue an apology.
She's not going to apologize.
Her statement that she released was insane, Todd.
We'll circle back. We've got to take a break, and we'll get to that. We'll take your calls as well. Do you believe that Jasmine Crockett should be removed from Congress? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So as promised, here's what Crockett is saying after she attacked Governor Greg Abbott's disability. What do you call it? She called him Governor Hot Wheels. She said, "I wasn't thinking about the government's condition." Oh, can we turn on Sesame Street for just a moment? Can we change the channel to PBS? I love this section of PBS. Bull crap. That's what that is, ladies and gentlemen. Bull crap. She says, "I was thinking about the..." Oh, should we do it in the Jasmine Crockett voice?
Which one?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Todd, you are white, so be careful.
I know. I'm white, and I like collard greens, too, and I always get in trouble when I tell people I love collard greens. You racist! You racist!
Tread carefully, my friend.
I bet you like Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima. Love them.
It's only Wednesday.
It's true. It's hump day. "I was thinking about the planes and the trains and the automobiles he used to transfer the migrants into the communities led by black mayors, deliberately stoking the tension and the fear among the most vulnerable." "Literally the next line, I said that he was a hot ass mess." I said hot ass mess. "Referencing the terrible policies. At no point did I mention or allude to his condition. So I'm even more appalled that the very peoples who unequivocally support Trump, a man known for racially insensitive nicknames and mocking those people with disabilities, are now outraged." May I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
Thank you. Ooh, I'm a little winded.
You have me running the pews. Jeez. I mean, hello, Todd. You watched a Madea movie in your day.
Somebody needs to tell her to put the shut to the up.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. Put the shut to the up. Okay. I'm a little parched now.
You need an inhaler. Woo. We've got to get Todd in it.
Where's the church organ? All right, 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. Yeah, I'm probably in trouble. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Apparently, there was fighting in the Tennessee State Capitol with lawmakers going at it.
MMA style.
Wow.
I mean, they're beating each other up right now.
Who's the guy with the big afro?
That's my state representative. That is the guy that represents me in the state legislature. His name is Justin Pearson. He's like the male version of Jasmine Crockett. They're like twins. They could actually be interchangeable people.
Wow. Okay, and so he's attacking a white lawmaker, a Republican lawmaker.
That's correct.
Oh, geez, hello.
And it's all over gun legislation. So obviously, Democrats in Memphis want more gun rights taken away, essentially. And this other lawmaker, Andrew Farmer, the Republican, they're in this heated discussion. And all of a sudden, Justin Pearson, this state rep, this radical, lurks at this guy. They had to actually haul him out of the chamber.
So he's the same. He really is the male version of Jasmine Crockett, because this guy went to a really highfalutin college, Bowdoin College.
Yep.
And there's video of him. Hello, my name is Justin Pearson. And now he's kind of like the I ain't got no time for this kind of an MLK wannabe.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Who is the real Justin Pearson?
Mm, yeah. All right. So we'll keep you updated there on the fist fight or whatever that was. At the Tennessee State Capitol. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Congressman Troy Nels, represents the 22nd Congressional District. Our good friends in Houston, Patriot Talk 920 and that big signal. Congressman, hope you're doing well.
Todd, how are you? Thank you for having me. It's a great day to be alive, my friend. It's a great day to be alive.
You know, Congressman, we have been following the developments involving Jasmine Crockett and the horrible things spewing out of that woman's mouth. Do you think that she needs to be censured, or somehow this needs to be dealt with up on Capitol Hill?
Well, I don't know if the censor, she would probably look at as a badge of honor. Who knows? I mean, I think she's a crazy. She's a nut job. I think the best way to deal with her is she would get beaten in her own primary. She's got a very safe district here in Texas, so it's going to stay under Democrat control. But if we want to get rid of this Looney Tune, let's fund a good primary opponent against her and get her out of here. That's what we could do. I mean, she's just crazy. But honestly, let's let her talk. I mean, the things that she says and some of the antics that we've seen with the Democrats up here and whether it's vandalizing and supporting what you're seeing with the vandalism at Tesla and all of that stuff. The American people, they know. They see it. They can hear it. The left, they're unhinged. They're crazy today. And it's just going to continue to help President Trump and this administration and the Republican Party in future elections, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're nuts. So let her keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, and all fairness, I mean, that is certainly one way of looking at it, because she is the de facto minority leader of the House right now.
Can you imagine? No, Todd, that's scary, buddy. That's the best they got. I wonder if Hakeem Jeffries really says, oh, I like what she has to say. No, I think if people come up here, they get these freshmen, and they think they're going to come up here and be the next, maybe to replace the AOCs of the world or some of these others. But I tell you, I think she's just absolutely nuts. She's un-American. What she said about our great governor in Texas is uncalled for. But a lot of these people don't seem to care. She's probably more concerned about increasing her Twitter followers, or what the hell it is, X now. She's probably more concerned about trying to increase followers so she can be a rock star. And it's working, Todd, because we're talking about her today. We're talking about her. And
well,
that's
we are.
Probably what she wants.
And fair enough. By the way, Congressman, is this true? I find this is just shocking. So apparently there is going to be a congressional town hall tomorrow at the Fort Bend County Fairgrounds in Rosenberg, Texas, featuring Tim Walz and Beto O'Rourke. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I got notification about that the other day. There's a congressional town hall. I said, well, neither one of those bozos are in Congress. So why are they calling it a congressional town hall? So they're coming into my district, Fort Bend County. I tell you what, they're both. I did a little video yesterday. Tim Walz, number one, you are an absolute loser. You and Kamala, you lost big. There was a mandate. Nobody wanted you. Nobody wanted you, Tim. Nobody wanted you, Kamala. And then you have Beto, and he's a three-time loser in Texas, right? Ran for the Senate, failed. Then the Democrat, you want to be the Democrat nominee in 2020 president, he failed there. And then run against our great governor of Texas, he failed. So Beto's looking for a job. He's probably fortunate he's got a very rich wife that funds a lot of this. But Beto O'Rourke, I think, is going to run for Senate here in 2026 in Texas. I think somebody's encouraging this guy to run. So he's going to run around Texas again in his Converse tennis shoes on his skateboard, and he's going to get beat the fourth time. But the guy just doesn't know when to quit. He's a fool. He's been rejected in Texas. Tim Walz, you've been rejected across the country, and you think you're going to come into my district and start spewing your hatred they hate America is what it is. They hate America, and they hate Donald Trump even more because Donald Trump is saving America. It's what the Democrats destroyed. They destroyed our country, and Donald Trump is going to save it. It's not going to work. It's a stunt.
Definitely not alpha males, those two. They don't like ooze Texas when you look at Tim Walz and Beto.
Nah, they put cream cheese on their hot dog. These guys are crazy. They're crazy.
They put what on their what?
Cream cheese on their hot dog.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway, all I do know is this. Don't come into Fort Bend County and think you're going to come in and spew this hate. I in the video I said yesterday, I said, every Friday I send out a newsletter. They say we're going to hold a congressional town hall because the congressman doesn't do it. I have had 35,000 people in our weekly newsletter that tells people what we're doing up here. I have meetings with the chambers of commerce and all the different organizations. And so I'm out there doing what I'm supposed to do to keep the constituents in this district informed. And I do very, very well. I'm not concerned about primaries, and I crush them all in the general election. And they don't like it. They don't like guys like me up here because they know I'm an America First patriot, and I'm a Donald Trump supporter. And I think he and Elon are doing a hell of a job exposing the waste, fraud, and abuse we've seen in our country in these agencies and this bloated bureaucracy of Washington, D.C. They're exposing it all, and they don't like it, and I support it.
You know, Congressman, one of the things we're excited about, last week we launched our live radio show on Patriot Talk 920, which is a family-owned conservative, really MAGA radio station in the Houston area. And it's so exciting to have, that kind of an opportunity. But also it has to be good for you to know that there is a locally owned, locally run radio station that is rock solid America First MAGA.
I think that is fantastic. That is great news, Todd. I'd love to be a regular caller. I'd call into your program, tell you what's going on up here in Washington, D.C., and all the great things that this administration is doing for the American people. I tell you something, it would have been an absolute disaster. Could you imagine if Donald Trump, we wouldn't have won this election? I mean, this would be horrible. Our country would be in the spiral. We were on this downward spiral. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump and the American people woke up and said, we got to stop this. This is crazy for America. They're destroying our country. We can't even recognize it anymore. Mm. And now all of a sudden, that flight pattern, we are moving north. We are moving north, and we are just doing some incredible work up here in both chambers. I mean, we have reconciliation coming up. That's a big deal. Your listeners got to understand, reconciliation is coming up, which will make the boss's 2017 tax cuts permanent. That is so important for small business. It's important for the American people that we make these tax cuts permanent, and we're going to get it done. So Donald Trump will have one of the most successful 100 days. We'll get this done in April. He'll have the most successful 100 days.
That's fantastic. We're not even at 100 days. We're not even there yet. And look at how much has been done already. It's just it's a beautiful thing. Congressman, we got to leave it there. We'll get you back on. And we really appreciate your candor and your sense of humor. And you represent your district quite well there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We love you guys. We love your listeners. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Congressman Troy Nels from the 22nd Congressional District of Texas. You know, somebody needs to tell – I'm not a big Tim Walz fan at all, but mm-hmm. somebody needs to tell that guy, don't you be coming down to Texas and putting cottage cheese on your
hot dog. Because he'll do it literally. He'll take it literally. It's a bizarre thing happening with these town halls. We're pulling Beto O'Rourke, who is the most beta male in America, out of the – I mean, where has this guy been? He's like a two-time loser. So they have to pull him out of the closet. No, that sounded weird. Not that. Dust him off.
He does wear a dress.
Dust him off because he's dusty because no one's heard from him. And they're going to parade this man around Texas in what? A large hat, 10-gallon hat and cowboy boots?
He's the fake Mexican. Remember his name? I mean, he's you know, Irish.
His name is Bob. His name is Robert, but he goes by Beto.
Bobby.
Yeah, it's Robert.
Little Bobby.
It's Robert Bob Beto O'Rourke.
Buenos dias, call me Beto. Arramba. I'm like, dude, you're an Irish wine guy. What are you doing here?
He rides around on a skateboard. That's his full-time job.
I wonder if they're going to do maybe they'll ride skateboards together.
Or they'll take to those bowls. You know, they do the rodeos down in Texas. I'm probably stereotyping for our poor listeners in Houston. But when I think of Texas, I think of those big bowls. And you put the boys, because they are boys.
They're steers.
Beto and Tim on a steer. And then me and Todd will run around the arena in red. Because you got to anger the bulls. And see, do the Brunken Bronco. I need a course in bull.
Why do I get the feeling that Tim Walz would love nothing more than in life than to mount a bull? Why?
Are you
come here, big boy. Come here. Here, bull. Come here, bully bull.
So you think he could be a professional bull rider? That's what you're thinking?
He could. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, don't be putting cream cheese on your hot dog in Houston.
And don't mount the bulls while you're there at your congressional town hall. That's all.
Or at least ask permission first. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Coming up tonight, I'm taking a day off from the Newsmax show. And by the way, a little under the weather, but thank you guys for the kind thoughts and prayers. And I'll be back up lickety-split no time at all. But I am taking off tonight. We'll be back tomorrow evening with the Newsmax TV show. All right. I've got to tell you, though, about this important Medicare news. Doge Chief Elon Musk says all government spending now up for review. The House planning to cut $800 million in health care costs, and those cuts could hit Medicare and Medicaid. Now, Rob Finnerty on Newsmax tonight revealing the real Medicare crisis. Over 65 million people depend on Medicare, and Rob Finnerty says hardworking Americans that paid for it should get their full medical coverage. This week in his series, Medicare in Crisis, Rob Finnerty looking at Medicare and why it faces bankruptcy. Big changes are ahead for Medicare. That's why you need to watch Rob Finnerty tonight. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. You can download the free Newsmax app on your phone right now. Millions are switching to Newsmax because we are fighting for you. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Samantha in Bartlett, Tennessee. Hi, Samantha. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just have to start by saying y'all are the most entertaining show I've ever heard. I was listening before the break. I took a drink of my iced coffee, and I started laughing so hard I was choking. because of what y'all were talking.
Do we need to put a health warning on the show, a label?
Yeah. I just love, y'all are so, I just love the show.
Thank you.
I want to say, I think with this Jasmine Crockett, I'm trying to figure out why she was elected. Like, I don't understand why anyone of any race would want her representing them. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. And also, let her keep talking. It's probably just going to keep getting worse.
Samantha, you're the second person. You heard Congressman Troy Nels from Texas say the same thing. Just let her keep talking. And maybe I'm just looking at this the wrong way. Maybe we should just let her be unleashed. And
unleash the beast.
Unleash
the beast, as they say. Let her rip and roar, Samantha, right? I like where you're going with this.
Right. I mean, she's just going to continue to spiral. And really.
Oh, no. Did we lose some? Oh, there we go. Samantha, we got you back?
Yes.
There we go. All right. Keep going.
Yes. I agree with what the congressman said about she would take the censure as a badge of honor. Like, it would be like, oh, you know, like, almost, she's the type that would just be proud of it.
It's a fair point. You know, that is a fair point. And, you know, she may be who they end up putting nominate for president.
Here's why this is a good reason. You know, Samantha, you're in the Memphis area, and we were talking when we came back from the last break about Justin Pearson, who a lot of your listeners may remember from the Tennessee Three. They were expelled from the Tennessee state legislatures. I mean, these are literally sitting representatives of these important districts, and they caused such a stir that the Speaker of the House had to come in and expel them from the chamber. And immediately after, instead of maybe apologizing for the way they acted out, like the Jasmine Crocketts of the world were acting out and behaving so foolish, they immediately got the megaphones of the Democrat Party, and guess what? Their campaign coffers went through the roof, and now they're Democrat celebrities. So I agree. You know, she would use that censure vote as an opportunity to campaign and get campaign cash.
Correct. That's exactly what I think. And isn't Justin Pearson attacking people just as we speak? I mean, these people just won't stop.
No, they won't. I want to know who the white guy in the pink suit is. A suit coat. That's not a good look. That's not a good look for a grown man. Oh, I'm sorry. It's salmon.
I agree. I agree. Yes.
I know it's Easter, but you're not an Easter egg, sir. All right. Samantha, thank you for calling in. And by the way, Dieter, we should give a quick plug. Friday, you and I, you're going to be doing your morning show.
That's right. In Bartlett, Tennessee. So, Samantha, tell all your friends, I'm going to be doing our morning show here where we broadcast the national show right there in Bartlett at a breakfast joint called Chef Leva's. And it's incredible. They say, Todd, the pancakes are wonderful.
They're
the
fluffy.
Biscuits are, you tried the biscuits, Todd. And so I get to do 2 hours of radio while stuffing my face with biscuits.
So if you want to join, if you want to meet Ben Dieter and myself, we're both going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have breakfast, and it's at a place called Chef Leva's.
That's right.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Chef Leva's. I heard the shrimp and grits are, they'll have you speaking in tongues.
Is that right?
It is.
Well,
true.
Good thing I'll have my radio mic there.
All right, I'll interpret. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. We have said all along that no classified material was sent on this messaging thread. There were no locations, no sources or methods revealed, and there were certainly no war plans discussed. The Atlantic has even admitted this themselves. Their release of these internal messages validates the truth, which we have been saying all along. If this story proves anything, it proves that Democrats and their propagandists in the mainstream media know how to fabricate, orchestrate, and disseminate a misinformation campaign quite well. And there's arguably no one in the media who loves manufacturing and pushing hoaxes more than Jeffrey Goldberg. Goldberg is an anti-Trump hater. He is a registered Democrat. Goldberg's wife is also a registered Democrat and a big Democrat donor who used to work under who? Hillary Clinton. This is the same Jeffrey Goldberg who infamously lied about weapons of mass destruction to get us into the Iraq War, which cost trillions of dollars and thousands of American soldiers. And how else has Goldberg discredited himself? By absurdly claiming that President Trump was Vladimir Putin during the 2016 campaign. By peddling the Russia hoax that tried to hijack President Trump's first term. By inventing the suckers and losers hoax to help Joe Biden in the 2020 election. By peddling a hoax about President Trump involving Gold Star families to help Kamala Harris in the 2024 election, which our campaign at the time vigorously denied. Jeffrey Goldberg didn't care. There's more, but we don't have all day, and we can now add the Signal hoax to this very long list.
All right, that was Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, just moments ago, as she's laying out the argument here. The Atlantic releasing the full thread from that Signal chat, and folks, it's a big nothing burger. The big issue to me is, how did Michael Waltz end up getting Jeffrey Goldberg's personal contact information, and what was that doing in the chat? And that's a legitimate question, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of all of that. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm glad to have you with us. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Congressman Eric Burleson from the great state of Missouri, also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, I hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. You know, Congressman, a couple of things, and again, the Signal story, that's going to play itself out. But honestly, based on the information we're getting, this is nothing more than Democrats looking for sound bites so they go on MSDNC and CNN.
Yeah, they are floundering. They don't really have anything to hitch their wagon to right now. They really don't have. And so this is the one thing that they that happened. And yeah, it was a mistake. And but the good news is that Houthis, it was a successful attack, and there's Houthis that are dead, and they probably won't, and the administration probably won't make this mistake again.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, a mistake was made. They fessed up. You know, it's pretty transparent to me. And, you know, let's move on. You know, Congressman, we were following the situation involving Jasmine Crockett. There are calls for her to be censured. We just talked to Congressman Troy Nels out of Texas. He says, you know what, let her talk. You know, she's going to try to make herself a martyr. But if this is really going to be the face and the voice of the Democrat Party, I'm not sure the American people are going to embrace something like that.
Yeah, they've become the party of fruits and nuts, like this, and like radicals. And so that's, you know, and that's unfortunate. It's no longer the party of Tip O'Neill, you know, people that were reasonable, you know, the Kennedy family. It is a party of fruits and nuts. And if they want to throw temper tantrums and scream and make big spectacles of themselves, then so be it. And the American people will see right through that.
I want to ask you about NPR and PBS, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Do you, first of all, do you know how much money that they've been getting from the taxpayers? I know what was budgeted, but I have to imagine there's more money under the table that's been going to those agencies.
Yeah, I think that they probably get, so I think that what was budgeted was at $535 million a
yeah.
year, which that they act like that's nothing. And but at the end of the day, like that goes a lot, that could go a long ways to doing other things. And that was part of my line of testimony when the hearing is that, look, we're, you know, first of all, this is not free speech. This is state sponsored speech, right? And we don't live in a time where we need to be, I mean, we need to be funding news outlets and this, especially, you know, taxpayer dollars going towards a very left leaning. In fact, I think they said in their administration and their editorial staff, there's 87 registered Democrats, not a single one is a Republican. So it's just definitely left-leaning. The question is, you know, at a time in which we're almost $37 trillion in debt, and we know that we have to cut spending, the question is, I don't want to cut things like veterans' health care. I don't think we should be, I think we should be prioritizing veterans' health care, Social Security, important things, and this is no longer important. You know, this is not as important to me. So $535 million could fund 6 months of our border security, or it could cover 12,000 veterans' health care. I'd rather do that than send money to, you know, Elmo and Big Bird.
You know, I'm with you there. As long as I don't have to tickle that thing, I'm good. So Congressman, again, when you look at the propaganda spewing out, and there are so many, I think that's the issue here. There are so many ways you could go after NPR and PBS, but the reality is this. We don't need to be funding broadcast organizations. There are plenty of organizations, TV stations, radio stations, in the private sector that are already doing that work.
Yeah, you're doing that work, right? And the funding comes privately. We don't need to have, we live in an era today, and I said this in the hearing as well. There was a time when the governments paid town criers to go out and stand on street corners and tell what's going on, right? The messages from the state. We don't, because since the advent of the Gutenberg press, that kind of went by the wayside, but we don't, and so to me, this is modern day town criers. Like, why are we paying these people when there is so much other information and news outlets? There's just really no reason to do it anymore.
Congressman, do you anticipate actually defunding? I mean, is that going to happen?
I think Trump has the ability to withhold funding. And I think a lot of the things that have been difficult in the past that DOGE is doing are, you know, the way in which we will be able to achieve these is by DOGE and Elon doing the difficult things that Congress has in the past not been able to have the courage to do. And then once it's cut, it's cut. And then if we can just go in and make it permanent and acknowledge what has already been done, then it should be a lot more politically possible for Congress to do.
Mm. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We always appreciate your good word, and thank you for fighting the good fight and looking out for the taxpayers' dollars.
Likewise. Thank you for what you do, Todd.
All right, Congressman Eric Burleson, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Dieter, I want to ask you a question. There's crazy video at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and I've spent many a time. That's a big, if you're flying American or United, I mean, you are flying from Memphis to Dallas, no doubt
DFW,
about it.
DFW, yeah. DFW. Huge.
Anyway, there's a woman, a passenger, and she's buck naked, and she's running all over the terminal. She's breaking screens, and she's screaming, "I speak all languages, you mother fornicators."
And she's doing some interesting gyrating at the waist.
Is that a water bottle?
No, I think it's tequila.
Oh, dear.
I think she, okay. Yeah. So she's fully naked, like... And the videos, unfortunately, circulating around online, they are not blurred. And so this is interesting because I really am more interested in how the people around her in Terminal D.
They're unfazed.
It's in Terminal D. And they are completely, they're sipping their drink. They're eating their nuggets at the Chick-fil-A there. They're not even reacting. And I'm telling you, this video goes on, Todd, for 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Notice also, I'm reacting to this live because I just saw the video. The authorities, why aren't they wrestling her to the ground? Maybe you can't do that, but it seems to me if you have babies
and
children.
Where do you put your hands?
I don't know. Get a big, oh gosh. Oh my gosh.
What terminal was this? What terminal?
Terminal D.
No, I think that may be a terminal B, maybe C. I don't think she's a Terminal D.
Well, someone needed to step
so
in.
So to speak.
Because I feel like I know Terminal D very well. D4. D4 to be exact, and that's where this woman is. And my biggest concern here is that you have the TSA agents, which will basically strip you naked. God forbid you have a button on your jeans. That's almost happened to me. You get a full pat down because you have a metal button on your pants. They're not stepping in here. Like, where are the TSA agents, the 45 of them that you have to go through to just get to your gate? Because she's running around gallivanting.
Well, they already did their job. I would be willing to say she made it through the TSA checkpoint pretty easily, right?
There was no need for a pat down for this woman.
Move on through, ma'am. Move on through. Have a lovely day.
Yeah. But, I mean, someone's got to be overseeing security at DFW. She's going through she's breaking stuff. This is a wild, wild video.
It's insane.
I can't look away. It's a hot
what
mess.
I love about the pastors, nobody was fazed. It was like, oh yeah, it's another crazy woman.
At an airport in America.
It's true. Have you noticed it's holy cow. It's happening a lot. That's a moon over Miami. It's happening a lot, right? There was a guy that bit somebody on a Delta flight.
Mm-hmm.
What did you hear about our friend Caleb Park at Newsmax did a story about a guy, the airline pilot, they were heading to China, and they had to turn the plane around because the pilot forgot his passport.
Oh, man, that's insane.
And they got a $15 food voucher. Everybody on board, that's it. 15
wow.
bucks.
Wow.
I guess you could buy a lot of ramen with
that. Well, I'd rather her strip down naked outside of the plane than when she boards, because we were talking about 2 weeks ago, to your point of this series, this trend of crazy lunatics at these airports. There was that naked chick that took off her top and walked down the aisle of this American Airlines plane. So at least she's doing it while they're not 40,000 feet up in the sky.
Ben, can you imagine us? Ben, there is a colonial woman churning butter on the... Any of you have seen a certain movie, you know where that line comes from.
Todd, remember, look at these moves. Wait, look at this. Describe this.
Well, I can't describe it. We're on the radio.
Okay, but look what she does here.
Oh, she's got a good arm on her. I'll give her that much.
Throwing she's throwing bottles at their screens.
Yeah, she's throwing things at the screens, and nobody's stomping her. But again, they're afraid to because she's a naked woman.
Yeah, you'll be the latest victim of me,
remember,
too.
Remember, what was it? Tiffany, the crazy plane lady.
Oh, the one that
they're
was saying
things? They're not real. There are not real people on this plane.
But at least Tiffany had her clothes on.
That is true. My concern would be, because I'd be sitting in first class minding my business, and all of a sudden this buck naked woman just starts doing things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do? Just keep on eating your snack they
ask
give you?
Ask for some more snacks and they fill her up. Dinner and a show. What is this, Delta or the Pink Pony, for crying out loud? Get the woman a pole. Oh, but wow, that was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Anyway, did they arrest the woman? I hope they did.
No. A lot of people are saying she was having a mental health crisis, so now I feel
you
bad.
You think so?
I don't know.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
Thank you, Ben. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Well, this is interesting. I had no idea, but diets are apparently racist. Did you guys know that? This is news to me. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's racist out there. Mayonnaise, for example. White bread. Mm.
Lots to unpack here. What they say?
Crackers.
They say that it's systemically racist. So you just going to Weight Watchers or getting on Ozempic, that's not necessarily racist, but they say that systemically, and this is what I hear from Democrats with the morning show that I do, is that Black Americans, different minority groups in this country, do not have the access to healthy nutrition, to different products, different sustainable weight loss products than their white counterparts. It's something that we hear all the time. And so they want to level the playing field. They want everybody to have access to, I guess, all the lettuce. I didn't know that you couldn't get lettuce. I don't know.
No. This is, I think they're saying they want everybody to be fat because they're saying diets are racist. So dieting. So if you're going on a, again, I guess.
Because, do only white people go on diets? That's an absurd assumption.
If Jenny Craig is racist, what about Yolanda Craig? I mean, would that be, I don't understand. Anyway, let's take a listen to Cut 13.
The same diets as white women, we lose less weight and we lose it slower, even when we're following the diet, than our white women counterparts. It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
Well, I mean,
yeah. So that comes from a show. It's a weight loss show, and she was upset with her weight loss results. She didn't get to the quota, the amount of poundage that she wanted to lose. And so when all else fails, what do people do? They make excuses. We're all there. She just went for the race card excuse.
But isn't it it's not my fault. It's the pound cake's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's the excuse. Okay. It's not my fault that I'm not able to drop a few in the pant size region. It's the fact that there is systemic racism. You know, people come up with crazy excuses, Todd, to I guess explain their size and their weight conditions.
Okay, just stop stuffing your face. Here's a thought, and you don't have to like do it overnight, right? You don't have to become a monk or a nun overnight, right? You can start losing weight incrementally. For example, instead of one entire bucket of KFC or two buckets, just eat one bucket, right? So maybe in a normal, and you've got all the sides and all the fixins, so just, you know, instead of a dozen biscuits, just cut it down to a half a dozen. And if you're
but
still.
That would mean I would have to do the work and be responsible. And that's not what we do anymore.
And if
it's not my fault.
If you're still alive in 6 months, well, you can knock it down a little bit more. Maybe don't eat, you know, the entire bucket. Just, you know, maybe eat a quarter of it or a half of it.
Still not my fault. Colonel Sanders' fault.
So you're blaming Colonel Sanders. Blaming Popeyes. I love Popeyes. Blaming Wendy's. Mm-hmm. All those little Debbies.
Yep.
Little Debbie's got Big Debbie. Okay, there you go. All right, 901-260-5926. Oh, Megyn Kelly was talking about me. We're going to get into that coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show. I really love Caroline Leavitt. She's just not taking any stuff from this White House press corps. These people hate Trump. They do. There's really no other way to say it. They just hate him. Anyway, Caitlin Collins, eyebrow chick from CNN, she's up there and she goes, I have a follow-up on something you just said. And Caitlin, and this is great. Caroline Leavitt said, Caitlin, I'm not taking your follow-up question.
This was like a day after this chick from CNN was in the Oval and she had a question for the president and he's like, yeah, you're not getting a question. It's like her third time. I'm shocked she still has a seat, honestly. But I mean, obviously they've got a job to do, but You got to love the SmackDown. They're not playing.
So I was getting text messages from just about every conservative lady in Memphis yesterday. There said, Todd, Megyn Kelly is talking about you on her podcast. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? So anyway, Megyn Kelly has a very popular podcast and a TV show. She does the SiriusXM show. And she was weighing in on Jasmine Crockett. Let's take a listen.
Mm-hmm. We actually did a bit of a deep dive on her after my old colleague from Fox News, Todd Starnes, posted something on X not long ago, Walter. He posted the following. Jasmine Crockett wants you to think she's from the hood, that she grew up on the streets. The exact opposite is true. She attended an exclusive day school where tuition is nearly $35,000 a year. She also attended Rhodes College, a private school where tuition is nearly $55,000 a year. She's cosplaying a gangsta. So we looked up her background. She was born in St. Louis. She's 43. Her dad was a Baptist pastor and a teacher. Her mother worked in a post office. She graduated from Mary Institute and St. Louis Country Day School, one of the most expensive private schools in the city. Indeed, the current tuition, $35,000 a year. Got her bachelor's from Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, private liberal arts school, current tuition, $55,000. Then she moved to Texas and went to law school. Looks like she started at the Thurgood Marshall School of Law, finished at the University of Houston Law Center. But while she was at Rhodes College in Memphis, the Tennessee Star reported this past May, almost a year ago now, that she and other black students, she claimed in a 2020 interview, were victims of multiple hate crimes in 2002 when she was a college student. That she said, in my junior year, I became the victim of a series of hate crimes, a series of them. Myself, along with a handful of other black students, this is her claiming this in 2020 about her 2002 college experience. My school didn't know what to do. They brought in the Cochran Law Firm, and the lawyer that helped me became my instant shero. They go on to say in 2021, she provided additional details of the alleged hate crimes to ABC7, with the outlet reporting that she recalled needing an advocate when someone left racist hate mail in her campus mailbox and when her black friends had their cars keyed on campus. The Tennessee Star contacted Rhodes College to seek details about the alleged hate crimes and whether police reports were filed, and whether the Cochran Law Firm was actually retained. The college did not respond. An additional inquiry by the Star to the Cochran firm similarly did not receive an immediate response. The Star sought confirmation from the firm about whether they even represented the college, and the female attorney identified as the shero and didn't get any response. And then before we went on the air today, we followed up with the Star just to see if they ever got anything back, and here's what they got from Crockett's office. They told the Star the racist mail was assembled using letters cut out of magazines and newspapers, but they say Crockett's office did not respond to an inquiry by the Star that sought to determine whether the letters still exist and are in her possession. Pressed for details about the incidents, her spokesperson told the Star they consisted of racist slurs and hate mail that were put in her and 17 other student campus mailboxes. But the paper reports that Crockett's office did not reply to the Star's inquiries seeking to determine whether Crockett and the other students ever filed a police report. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but this woman, I think Todd Starnes had it right. She's cosplaying something other than what she is.
Well, thank you very much, Megyn Kelly. And yeah, I mean, it really is that simple. This guy that we just told you about who lunged at the Republican lawmaker at the Tennessee State Capitol, this guy's of the same ilk. He is the male version of Jasmine Crockett, this guy named Justin Pearson. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kyle in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hey, Kyle, what say you?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, about Miss Crockett. Yeah, it's just... to me, you know, this whole mindset that she's pushing, this whole mentality of hers, she's towing the company line, as it were, in my opinion. She's just following the Democrat leftist playbook that they've been using for decades of taking advantage of, however you want to word it, whatever words you want to use, taking advantage of using the black community as puppets to keep the votes coming in. She's just towing the company line, you know. Refusing to drop the race card, refusing to drop the victimhood mentality, the oppressors versus the oppressed. That's all this is. And, you know, you have to be reminded of what Malcolm X said, I believe, years and years ago. He said that one of the greatest threats to the black community is the white liberal, and how that's how they were going to be using his people for votes. That's all they've been doing anyway. So that's what I think mainly what this is. She is simply just following the same playbook that they've been using for years. They want to keep the welfare state going, keep the EBT cards and the SNAP cards going to the black community. And really, I think that she feels threatened. And not just her, but you have other people, I think, that they realize that blacks are starting to wake up, so to speak, to this.
Oh, I think they have woken up, Kyle. And I think what's really got the Democrats on their heels is that they thought that the replacements, which would be the illegals coming across the border, would be enough to compensate for blacks leaving the Democrat Party. Now they don't have that. Those people are getting deported or they are self-deporting.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point, too, for sure. So it's kind of like, I guess she feels like, well, what do we do here? Should we change, so to speak, and kind of move away from this stuff? Or do we just keep full throttle, just pedal to the metal and keep pushing race and oppress? And I guess that's what they're choosing to do. Which I think is strategically that it's not going to work. It's not going to work for much longer. So
no, you're right. No, it will not. Well, Kyle, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for listening to KWAM. We really appreciate that. And be sure to tell a friend or two to tune in as well. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
I appreciate being on the show. And Caroline Leavitt's a rock star. I mean, No binders, straight to the point. I was so happy to see when she came out how she addressed the press, and that was before they got to raise their hands and moan and groan. She said to them, President Trump has made the Houthis a terrorist group again. The previous administration took them from that. And they will no longer be attacking private vessels or commercial vessels or military ships. And she goes, and before I take questions, I would like people out here, I'd like to ask how many of you were outraged and how many of you peppered the previous administration with questions on why the channel was so unsafe there and why the Houthis continued to get away. And then she looked around the room, and basically said, anybody? Would anybody like to tell us how angry you were at the previous administration for allowing that to happen? And they all sat there quiet. And the other thing is that they must practice having a mournful look on their face. I mean, Caitlin Collins, looks like she's going to cry. And they must stand in front of a mirror at least 2 hours a day and try to get the expression on how unhappy and unsettled they are.
You know, Gary, I had to work in that press briefing room. I was our backup White House correspondent, and so I would have to go down there and work. And I can't tell you what a miserable bunch of people they are. I mean, they're all leftist, and even some of the folks at the conservative networks are leftist as well. I know that Jackie Heinrich over at Fox, she's down there. They all party together, pal around together. It's just miserable. And I'm loving this every single second of it that Caroline Leavitt is up there, because she tells it like it is. She's not afraid to shut these people down. And I say good for her. Gary, it's a great observation you bring. Appreciate you listening to us. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about my morning? And I normally listen to Ben Dieter's morning show, brewing a cup of coffee. And this Wired to Fish coffee that I've been drinking for, 3 weeks now? Let me tell you something. I love this coffee. If you love coffee, and I'm a coffee snob, you're going to love Wired to Fish coffee. And they have a couple of different blends. I'm a big fan of the dark roast. And I would encourage you, if you're going to go all in on a great Arabica coffee bean, and the way they roast these beans, it's pretty phenomenal. Go with the dark roast. But here's the deal. Wired to Fish Coffee, they're owned by Christians and they're owned by conservatives, and I love that. They actually give 25% of their profits to faith-based organizations and initiatives around the country. So that's pretty awesome. You buy coffee and you're actually helping out a Christian ministry. And that's a give back I think we can all agree is pretty darn good. And the price is just so affordable. I have just been really impressed with this. So look, I want to encourage you to check them out and order some Wired to Fish coffee. You can get it delivered directly to your home. Here's the email address, the website address, wiredtofishcoffee.com. That's wiredtofishcoffee.com, wiredtofishcoffee.com. Now, write this information down. You're going to need it. My code is STARNS. Use that code when you're checking out, and you're going to get 10% off your first order today. Again, wiredtofishcoffee.com, wiredtofishcoffee.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I want to play a report out of Wichita, Kansas, from our great friends out there, KQAM, which is the big talker out in Wichita. These Tesla attacks are just insane. I mean, people lost their ever-loving minds. So the owner of this particular Tesla is a wheelchair-bound disabled woman, and now she is having to foot the bill for all of these damage charges. Take a listen to the report.
Damaging a personal vehicle does not affect Elon. If anything, it's giving him more money to fix the vehicle that you damaged. It's not damaging who you're thinking it is.
Just before 6 p.m. on Thursday, Abigail Gill and her family were seated for dinner at Olive Garden. Over an hour later, they left, and what they found waiting for them was shocking.
Quite a lot of damage. He keyed this side as well, which, as you can see, this side, it even looks like it affected above the tire. This is a lot more damage.
This comes less than a week after a possible arson at a Tesla dealership in Kansas City. Gill believes her brand new Tesla was targeted because of the current political climate and perception of Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
But it felt really disappointing that this is happening in such a great country, a great state. So for this to be happening in Kansas, of all places, is super shocking.
She says her family has had discussions around if it's even safe to be driving a Tesla anymore, in part because of incidents like hers. If she could send a message to the man who keyed her car, it's this.
You have put a very big crisis on me because physically I am in a wheelchair. I just hope that he definitely gets the correct punishment. I hope he pays all of the damages. It is well over $1,000. Possibly over $10,000 of damage. I hope that the Wichita police continue to find him.
And we're going to stay on top of this. I was reaching out to Dalton Glasscock, city councilman there in Wichita, also the CEO of my company, and we're going to see what we can possibly do to help this lady who is now faced with thousands of dollars worth of damage, and we'll see what insurance and all of that will take care of. But this is just, it's really unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. Here is a Cybertruck owner. His name is Josh Hazel, and his vehicle was actually attacked during a Mardi Gras parade. He was driving to the Orpheus parade, and here's how he described what happened.
Josh, thanks for joining us. I know your wife was actually injured during this. What the heck happened?
Hi, Laura. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. So, Amanda, my wife, was in the passenger seat, and initially we had the windows down, because it's a parade. That gentleman that you saw that came and slung the beads, handful of beads and the heavier, large beads, when he slung them, it hit her in the side of the head and also broke the side of the glass trim in between the two windows. So windows immediately went up after that incident, and we were obviously safer in the vehicle at that point. But she got hit in the side of the head pretty hard.
Well, I've ridden in the Mardi Gras parades on one of the floats. It was a lot of fun. Love Mardi Gras. But the police are all busy during Mardi Gras. But are they doing anything to follow up on this? Did you file a report?
We did. We filed a police report for assault and battery and property damage with the New Orleans PD. And I've got an update from them today that they have a bolo out, and they're working on getting information. But it's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick, I certainly hope that they take all of this seriously. I know they're trying to give Mardi Gras always a boost, but New Orleans in general a boost. But it's terrifying when someone rushes your vehicle and you don't know if there's a gun. You don't know. This is just... Did you ever think buying a car was going to bring on the Lunatron rage, Josh?
No, not at all. And we've had a Tesla since 2017, and absolutely love it. We've got another one in 2022, and then the Cybertruck in about a year ago. And they are just incredible vehicles, and highly recommend them. And especially in a situation like that, the Cybertruck is probably the vehicle you want to be in, as safe as it is.
I actually think I'm going to get one. I mean, my kids are like, just get a Tesla. I actually think I'm going to get a Tesla. I'm not really an EV person, but I'm becoming one because of this. Honestly, this is just ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, and thank you, Laura Ingraham, and that was a terrific, you know, interview over at Fox. Look, I'm with Laura. I'm not a huge EV person at all, but by golly, I'm not going to stand by and just allow these people to be bullied and harassed and attacked. That's just unacceptable. And the big problem coming up this weekend, there is a nationwide demonstration targeting Tesla owners and Tesla dealerships. Folks, the left is very clear in what they're trying to do here. And what is it that they're trying to do? They want to punish you. They want to absolutely punish you, ladies and gentlemen, and silence you. And we just can't allow that to happen. We're not going to let that happen on this radio program. I can promise you that. Folks, it has been a great day. Again, tonight, taking the night off from the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, we're going to be back with you tomorrow. Again, it's been a lot of fun. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com. Do not forget, we've only got a few more days raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor. If you can help us just get closer and closer to our ultimate goal, $20,000, everything is tax deductible, and you can do that over at the website, ToddStearns.com. Look for the blue banner at the top of the page. It has been a terrific day. Thank you, everybody, our great team here in Memphis. God bless you, everybody, and you be good, America.